The morning of today's daf from Sanhedrin is Kuf Gimel. We're on the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Beis, and we're starting with a pasuk. This morning we're starting with a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Before we get to the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, just so that we have our bearings. So yesterday we spoke about Achav, the Melech Achav, the King Achav, who was the king of the Machi Yisrael, who was the king of the northern tribes. So one of the people who made his way into the Mishnah of Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, doesn't have a portion of the world to come. We spent some time yesterday discussing him. We spent the end of yesterday talking about his downfall and ultimately what seduced him. The Gemara described him as being right in the middle between having zechuyos and chovos. It's hard to imagine that he had zechuyos, which was the Gemara's comment yesterday. But the Gemara explained that he supported Talmidei Chachamim, and so he had zechuyos. And he had chovos, and it was right in the middle. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to tip him over the edge, so he had a ruach come and try to seduce him, and was successful. And that ruach was Navos. Navos, of course, was the neighbor who Achav ended up killing, and so therefore he wanted to take revenge against Achav. So the ruach came to take revenge. As the Gemara pointed out yesterday, that of course meant that Navos ruach had to leave Mechitza Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu in order to do so. Rav Papa noted yesterday that when you take revenge, so it is a self-destructive act, even though it may satisfy your urge for revenge, it ends up becoming a self-destructive act. That's what we saw yesterday. The Gemara described just the disaster that Achav was in terms of his rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We noted yesterday that when Achav was going to be destroyed, that also not only he's going to be destroyed, but his entire family is going to be destroyed as well. So we are now learning a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim where Yehu. The pasuk is said in regarding to the pasuk was said in reference to Yehu, so who was living at the same time as Achaziah the son of Yehoshaphat. Ended up being the grandson of Achav. It's a little bit strange, but his mother was Achav's daughter. So, Vayivakesh, the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim goes on to explain. This is where we're picking it up from yesterday. It is towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay. Vayivakesh is the Chazal ve'al kedu v'hu mischabe b'shomram. So, at that point in time, Achazel goes into hiding because he's being chased down by Yehu. Why so? Amar Rabbi Levi Shaya Koder Achzaros v'kosev avodos kol chavim tachtem. What he was doing is that he was cutting out Akash Baruch Hu's name from the Sefer Torah and replacing it with the names of Avodah Zarah. So, as a result of that, Yehu was trying to confront him, and that's why he was going into hiding. And again, just speaking more about this idea of Achav and his rishus, and not only that, but his whole family, even his grandson, ended up in the same path of the rishus. Okay, with that stated, now we've come to a conclusion regarding Achav, and now we start with today's daf. And we're also going to begin now a new topic, not a new topic, but a new personality, and that's Menashe. Menashe also made it into the dishonorable list of our Mishnah, of one of the three kings who does not get a portion in the world to come. So our Mishnah has three kings who made the dishonorable list of kings. So,
how did it become such a popular name?
Menashe. Yes. Keep in mind, Yosef, I was thinking the same question as well. Yosef's son's name is Menashe. So, in other words, so it's, you know, yes, Menashe, the king we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf, has terrible notoriety. Right. He's not the only Menashe. But yeah. And even, right, and the meaning of it, although Yosef gave his son the name, and it had the same meaning also, meaning Yosef had so many sorrows, he wanted to forget his sorrows, and having his first son helped him forget some of those sorrows. So, okay, that's by Yosef. Three kings who do not have a chelk in Olam Haba is Yeravam, Achav, and Menashe. And so now we are at the end of the third king. We're now describing Menashe. The Gemara goes on to start the discussion. It is six lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the last one in the line, Menashe. So the Gemara goes on to explain Menashe Shenashe Ka. So right away the Gemara goes right into its classic discussion of understanding the name. The name is significant. Again, not just a proper noun, but rather an adjective as well. It's a description, and the first pshat of the Gemara is Nasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Davachem Menashe Shehinshi Es Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim. And here, in the second pshat of the Gemara, he causes others to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the source? source. How do we know? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk dechsev. It says in Malachim Beis, 21st parak of Malachim Beis. Ben shemas roshana menashe mamakov v'chamishim v'chamishana melech. I'm sorry, malach b'Yerushalayim. He takes the throne at 12 years of age, obviously a really young age to take the throne, and he serves as king for 55 years. And Vayas Asherah, the pasuk goes on to describe that he made an Asherah. Asherah is a tree dedicated to idolatry. Kasher Asa Achav Melech Yisrael, just like Achav did. Now, just like Achav did, Achav was not the only one who planted an Asherah. And so clearly the pasuk is trying to communicate to us that there is obviously a link between Menashe and Achav. Achav, and also, by the way, it's also somewhat random because Achav, although was the king, but it was the king, was Malchi Yisrael. And Menashe is Malchi Yehuda. But again, obviously the Navi wants to create a link. Now we have already established that Achav is not getting a portion of the world to come, and Menashe too is not going to be receiving a portion of the world to come. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Menashe Yesh Lo Chelek Lam Abba, Shemar Vispalel Menashe El Hashem Vaye Aser Lo. Okay, and we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that on this last king, Menashe, debatable, controversial, whether he does or does not receive a portion of the world to come. Tanakhama says he does not. And Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah says that Menashe does receive a portion of the world to come, and seemingly has a really good source, the Pasuk, the Navi. The Navi describes how he davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu Vaye Aser Lo. Now, Ye Aser, not the first time in Chumash we had it going back to Rivka. Rivka and Yitzchak daven, and Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to the tefillah. So over here, we have now Menashe davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and seemingly Kadosh Baruch Hu responded to the tefillah. So it seemingly is a very good source. I'm Rav Yochanan, and Shnei Mikraya Chadashu. So Rav Yochanan goes on to explain, and again, Rav Yochanan classically says this throughout Shas, that the two shitas of the Mishnah are really based or rooted within the same pasuk. Shenamar, the pasuk says, this is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Unisatim leza'ava l'choma mechos ha'arz begla Menashe ben Yechizkiyahu. And the Gemara now goes on to, and Rav Yochanan goes on to explain each shita in the context of this pasuk of Yirmiyahu. Mar Sava, this is according to Rav Yehuda, he understands the pasuk meaning Beglam Menashe Shasa Tshuva Ve'inu Lo Avod, meaning Menashe did tshuva, but the rest of Yisrael did not, and as a result of that, he's going to receive a chelek in Olam Haba, even though the rest of the Jewish people are going to be suffering. Mar Sava, meanwhile, the Tanakama, looking at the exact same pasuk as we turn now to Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, Beglam Menashe Dolo Avachuva. No, the Navi Yirmiyahu is chastising Menashe for not having done tshuva. Yirmiyahu lives after the time period of Menashe, which we're gonna explore that a little bit later on. But that's fine. In other words, the Navi Yirmiyahu is just simply describing historical events. Amar Rav Yochanan Kol Amar Menashe Lo Chelek Lo Maba. Marpa Yedem Shobali Tshuva. Rav Yochanan himself seems to be taking a side on this issue, meaning it's a machlokis tanaim, and again, machlokis tanaim, lamaisa, like how does it affect us halachically? But that question really could be asked on so much of the 11th parak of Sanhedrin, meaning lamai nafkamina, that we know which three kings and which four hegiotos are not receiving a chelek in Olam Haba. Okay. And the tanaim are arguing the issue, and lamai nafkamina, what practical difference does it make? Okay, so these are important questions, and I don't necessarily have prepared answers, but Rav Yochanan takes a side on this issue. I'm Rav Yochanan, Kol Amar Menashe Ein Lo Chelek Lo Maba, Marpi Yedem Shel Balei Tshuva. You say that Menashe doesn't have a portion of the world to come, and what's going to happen to the Balei Tshuva? You're going to weaken them, because think about it, from a resolve standpoint, I'm going to do Tshuva, and it's going to be amazing, right? Well, Menashe did Tshuva, and it didn't work for him. Oh, okay. And so you're going to create Yeush for someone who wants to do tshuva. Did Tani Tana come to Rav Yochanan? The following brisa was taught in front of Rav Yochanan. Menashe as a tshuva shoshim v'shoshanim. Menashe, 33 years of his life, did tshuva. Now remember, 12 years of age he took the throne. 55 years he ruled, and so now that's a good portion of his life that he was doing tshuva. And just imagine now that his tshuva is not accepted after having 33 years doing tshuva. Right. Now you understand Rav Yochanan. Anyway, dechsev, so let's get familiar with our numbers. How do we know about these numbers? The pasuk says, Ben Shemas Roshana Menashe B'Makov V'Chamishim V'Chamishana B'Malach B'Yushalayim. So we already went through the numbers in terms of the age in which he assumed the reign, and he ruled for 55 years. V'Ya'as Asherah
Kasher asa Achav melech Yisrael. And he made Nasher just like Achav did. Now, v'kama melech Achav, now we already went over this. Achav ruled for how many years? So Esrim v'tar tishni. So he ruled for 22 years. So Menashe kama melech hamishim v'chamesh. So now, the numbers here are really easy. Meaning, assuming that Menashe only was as evil as Achav, but for the same duration as Achav. So Achav lived for 22 years. So Menashe, therefore, was bad for 22 years of the 55 years. So Dal Minayu Esrim V'tartim, Pashlu Taltim V'tas. So take 22 years away from the 55 years that he ruled in total. And, right? So that means then that he was only bad for 22 of those, leaving 33 years in which he was doing tshuva. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochanan Ma'idichsiv Vayishma Elav Vayechater Lo. Now the Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Now you'll notice previously when we were quoting the pasuk, it said Vayeaser Lo, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to him. So, and here it says Vayechater Lo. Now it gets a little bit tricky over here because it's the same pasuk being quoted previously as it was being quoted now. And Vayeaser Lo Mi Bayle. And then the Gemara's comment is it should say Vayeaser Lo. So this part is a little bit tricky, admittedly, because if you open up a Tanakh and you just read the pasuk inside in Divrei Hayamim, it's with an ayin. It actually says Vayeaser. So the Gemara's comment over here is difficult to understand in that context. What you have to say is that maybe, I don't know if you have to say it, but what you could say is that maybe it's a Korean ksiv, and maybe we have it one way, but maybe there's an existing ksiv. Okay, you can also talk about the ayin and ches being both guttural letters and somewhat interchangeable. Okay, anyway, but the Gemara obviously has a point to make, and that is, meaning, it could also be v'yecheter, and for the word chatur titano, right, hababa machteres, right, the beginning of the eighth parak, not the beginning, the middle of the eighth parak of Sanhedrin, right, somebody tunnels in. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? He created a tunnel, a back channel, a back alley, Berakia Kedei LaKabel B'Tshuva, in order to accept Menashe and his Tshuva Mimnei Midas Adin. Meaning, if it was up to Midas Adin, would Menashe receive a portion of the world to come? No, he would not. Right, for everything that he did, which the Gemara is going to be describing over the course of today, so no, Midas Adin would not allow him in. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he created a back alley. And parenthetically, by the way, in other words, based on this, the Gemara doesn't say this, and I'm just suggesting it. It's a mere suggestion on my part. Meaning, elu ve'elu. Meaning, you look back at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, does he receive a portion of the world to come? Tanakama says no, and Rabbi Yehuda says yes. And based on what we just saw in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of the Rashbi, meaning, yes and yes, meaning they're both right. Meaning, through the regular Midas Adin, does he receive a portion of the world to come? No. Does he have some sort of back alley that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him entrance to? Some sort of tunnel carved out for him? Again, to the best of our understanding, yeah, he does. So again, so that controversy of the Mishnah, whether or not he does or not receive, could be described aptly by this statement of Rav Yochanan in the name of the Rashbi. Continuing in the Gemara. Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochanan Ma'idichsib Reishas Mamlechas Yoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu. So the beginning of the rule of Yoyakim ben Yoshiyahu, and it also says, Ksiv, Breishas Mamlacha Tzidkiyah. Yoyakim and Tzidkiyah are some of the last of the kings of Malchi Yehuda, before the destruction of the first temple. Tzidkiyah was the last. Tzidkiyah was the very last king of Malchi Yisrael. Yes, there's a governor that's placed after Tzidkiyah, but he was a governor. Gedaliah. But in terms of king, Tzidkiyah was the last of the kings. Yoyakim, one of the last of the kings, and the Torah describes, the Navi describes in both of them, the beginning of their rule with the word Bereishis. Now, Bereishis is a strange way to describe it. Bereishis means creation. Bereishis means, let's start again. And the Gemara asked the question, well, what do you mean, Bereishis? They're not the first. They're not the first kings. In fact, they're the last of the kings. So, but until this point in time, there were no kings. Ella. During the kings and the reigns of both Yoyakim and Tzidkiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's start again. Meaning, basically, the rishus that existed during their days was like, it was similar to that, like of the generation of Noach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let's start the whole world again. Bishvil Yao Yakim Nistak. I'm sorry. Lahakzir Zolom Kulo Lasovavo. Bishvil Yao Yakim. Yao Yakim was such a wicked king. And again, more of those details coming up later this morning. Nistakel Bidoro. However, what Akash Baruch Hu did is he looked at the generation, his Karadato, and Akash Baruch Hu had an appeasement. Bikesh Akash Baruch Hu Lahakzir Zolom Kulo Lasovavo. Bishvil Dorosho Tzikiao. And because of the generation of Tzidkiyahu, Akash Baruch Hu said enough. Let's start over again. Nistaka bit Tzidkiyahu, and he looks at Tzidkiyahu, who was a good king, and it's easy to remember that just based on the name, right? Tzedek. So Tzadik. Nistaka bit Tzidkiyahu, and his Karadato, and Akash Baruch Hu was also appeased. So regarding Yoyakim, he himself was a Rasha, but the generation was good. So Akash Baruch Hu says, okay, we're not going to hit a hard reset button. And the same thing is true with Tzidkiyahu, but just the inverse. Tzidkiyahu was good even though his generation was no good, so Akash Baruch Hu did not hit a hard reset button. Now, mind you, he didn't hit the hard reset button, but the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we went into Galus. You know, there was a reset button hit, but not Bereishis. Not that kind of reset button. But Tzidkiyahu namik siva yasara b'nei Hashem. Now, the Gemara notes a pasuk in Devar Yamin describing how Tzidkiyahu also did bad. So the Gemara says, shaya b'yad limchos v'lo micha. No, personally, he was not bad. But as the king, he had an opportunity to give tochacha, to give the rebuke to his entire generation, failed to do so. So the Navi treats him as if he himself, Yasara b'nei Hashem, although it's not, that's not an accurate depiction, meaning it's just, it's a function of him not giving proper tochacha. I'm Rav Yochem Mishim, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochem, I dichsev. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. Ish chacham nishmat is ish avil v'ragaz v'sachak v'einachas. The pasuk in Mishlei describes how sometimes a person gets judged, and the ish evil v'ragaz v'sachak v'einachas. And the Gemara goes on to explain the reaction of the person who's being judged. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu kasti al Achas. I was upset with Achas. Basically, let's take a look at the last kings of Malchi Yehuda. Achaz, Menashe, and we go on from there. Now, when I say Achaz, Menashe, keep in mind, historically, chronologically, Chizkiyahu is in between the two. Right, the son of Achaz was Chizkiyahu, and the son of Chizkiyahu was Menashe. But what we're going to be doing for the entirety of this morning is we're going to skip Chizkiyahu, for good reason. Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik, and his generation was an elevated generation. So when we're looking at the last kings of Yehuda and following their rishos, so we start with Achaz and we just work our way down from there, skipping Chizkiyahu. And we'll be doing that for the totality of this morning. So Ka'asti al Achaz, so we start off with Achaz. V'nasati b'al machi Damascus. And so what I did is I handed over Achaz to Damascus. And v'zibech kiter l'Elohim. And so now, what he should realize, Achaz, at this point in time is, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu's not happy with me. I'm being judged by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I should do tshuva. And what does Achaz do as he's being sent to Damascus? Oh, I'm in Damascus? Let's try the idolatry over here in Damascus. Let's see how that is. Shenemar v'zibech l'Elohim Damascus hamakimbo. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, where basically here's Achaz's twisted logic. I'm going to go to Damascus and look. Their gods, it must be very good because we were just handed over to Damascus. Oh, so it must be then that their gods have some sort of power to them. So I'll offer offerings to their gods. That's the twisted logic of Achaz. And the Gemara now, in the context of the Pasuk of Mishlei, says Achaz was such a fool. Meaning he was handed over to Damascus so that he would do tshuva. He didn't realize. Sachakti im Amatzia. And the contrast of that is Akash Baruch Hu says, and you know, with Amatzia, so Amatzia was a king of Yehuda, right? The Gemara elsewhere says that Amos and Amatzia were brothers. Amos was the father of Yeshayahu. Okay. Anyway, so the Amatzia, one of the kings of Yehuda, Akash Baruch Hu showed him good. Now Santi Malchi Edom Bayado. I basically handed over Edom over to Amatzia. So I was helping him. And Hevi Elohim Vishachav Elohim. And what did Amatzia do? So he took the idols of Edom and he gave offerings to the idols of Edom. Shenemar vayi acharei bo amatzia me'akosas adomim vayaveis elohei b'nei seir vayamidem lo lelohim v'lifneim yishachav v'lehem yikater. And so he made offerings to the gods of Edom. And again, it's the same idea. Meaning, I showed good, but this is the opposite. I show good to Amatzia, thinking now that he should thank me, and instead of thanking me, he just simply worships the idols of the Edomites. I'm Rav Papa Hainu Damrinshi, and Rav Papa here, as he's been doing throughout Perek Chelek, basically says, okay, life lesson to learn from all this. Hainu Damrinshi, and it explains an aphorism, a quip that goes around. Bachile lamar de lo yada, chaychi lamar de lo yada, whether you are angry to a person but who lacks understanding, whether you're happy to a person who lacks understanding, vayla lamar de lo yada bein tiv labish. And the person doesn't understand that you're happy with him or you're upset with him. And so such a foolish individual, like, whoa, woe to such an individual who doesn't understand that right now I'm upset with you. Right now I'm happy with you. And that person doesn't get it, woe to such an individual. Okay. The pasuk in Yirmeyahu describing how the king of Babel goes and sits in Shar Tavach. Now, this is, we're just leaving Menashe. We'll come back to Menashe in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The reason why the Gemara is calling this right now is because we are right now in a refrain of quoting things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and the name of Rashbi. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan quotes the name of Rashbi, that Makum Shemechatkim Bo Halachos, a place previously used for where we cut up halachos, cut up meaning, it's clear, it's a ruling, it's a psak, meaning Sanhedrin. So in that place, that place is where the Babylonians end up setting up shop. Amar Papa Hainu Damrinshi, Basa Damari Tala Izaina, in a place where previously we had our tools, our weapons. So Taman Kuba Raya Kulte Tala. So that same place is later on is going to be used by the shepherd who is basically leaving his jugs and things that are of less significance in such a place. And Rav Papa says that's the mashal, the nimshal. In a place where we used to have the Sanhedrin, that's where Bava comes in, destroys the base of Mikdash, and basically sets up whatever shops they set up over there. Okay. Gemara quotes Simanim to help us from commit to memory the next Gemaras. Asade batim lo se'uneh. Okay. I'm Rav Chis, I'm Rav Yirmiya Barabba, my dichsev. The Gemara quotes another pasuk from Mishlei. Avsei ish atzel avarti v'alkerem adam chaser lev, v'inei ala kulo kimshonim, kasu panav charulim, v'gedra avanav nerasu. The pasuk in Mishlei can basically be broken up into five different phrases, and the Gemara is going to now darshan each of the phrases of the pasuk in Mishlei to five kings of Malchei Yehuda. Let's go. Avsei ish atzel avarti, I went over the lazy man's field. That's the Achaz, that's a reference to Achaz. Achaz was lazy in the fact that he prevented Jewish people from learning Torah, and he stopped the avoda from occurring. And again, that's going to be discussed in just a couple minutes from now. Al kerem adam chasolev, and the vineyard of somebody who is deficient in understanding Zemanasha. That's a reference to Menashe. And again, like I said earlier this morning, we're going to keep skipping Chizkiyahu for obvious reasons as we go through this progression of Achaz Menashe. So now Menashe is the one who has the vineyard, who is lacking understanding. Menashe was the one who cut out the names of Akash Baruch Hu from the Sefer Torah, replacing them with the names of Avodah Zarah. Again, that's coming up later on as well. V'inei ala kulo kimshonim, and now thorns are coming up. Ze Amon. So Amon totally negated the Avodah. And basically, that's the idea of thorns, meaning totally uncultivated. We're not doing any work whatsoever. Thorns are growing up. Amon is the son and the next ruler of Malchei Yehuda. And Kasupanim Charulim Zeh Yehoyakim. And that is a reference to Yehoyakim, where basically now other types of thorns are growing in there as well. And V'gadra Avanim Nerasa, and then we get to number five. Okay, so we just went Achaz Menashe, Amon Yehoyakim, and now we get to Tzidkiyahu. And the fence stone came down. Pasuk in Mishlei Zet Tzidkiyahu, and the Gemara now comments that that's Tzidkiyahu. Nechra Beis Hamikdash Biyamav, during his days, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The stones coming down is an allusion to the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed. Amar Rav Chista. Amar Rav Yirmiya Ba'arba, Arba Kisos, In Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. There are four groups of people who are not going to be Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. Mekabel Pnei Hashchina is basically some description of an area up in Shemayim where you're going to be restricted from. So it's not losing your portion of the world to come, although perhaps that point may be debatable. But in other words, you're not mekabel pnei hashchina. So kas leitzim kas shakronim kas chanifim kas mesaper lashon hara. The Gemara goes through each one, so we will explain each one as we go through each one. Kas Leitzim. So the Leitzim. The Leitzim is somebody who basically just makes fun and mocks and ridicules everything. Dirsiv Mashach Yado es Lotzim. Akash Baruch Hu withdraws his hand from those people who just mock and deride and just, you know, it's a good time to make a joke. It's always a good time to make a joke. Basha Kronim, those people who lie also are not going to be Makabal Panei Hashchina. Dichsiv, Dovishkarim lo yikon leneged einai. We just quoted this pasuk yesterday's daf, right? When we were describing how the Ruach had to leave a Kadosh Baruch Hu because he was going to lie. So those people who lie are not going to have, are going to be restricted from a certain area up in Shemayim. Kas Chanif, those people who flatter. Flattery over here means flattery that's undeserved, right? You're so great, you're so unbelievable. Let me tell you, all of your virtues, and meanwhile, they're not true. And Chanif and Shakranus, really, they're like I would say they're cousins, they're whatever, they're siblings. So there's subtle differences between a Shakran and a Chanif, but it's the same basic idea. The Chanif is not going in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu again. Being restricted from being mekabel pnei hashchina, and finally, kas mesaper lashon hara. Those people who are mesaper lashon hara doesn't just simply mean that occasional lashon hara, but mesaper means that you are a habitual lashon hara speaker. Dichsiv ki lo kel chafetz rasha atalo lo yargucha ra tzadik ata lo yibemugurcha ra. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tzadik, and he can't have ra. He can't have people who are ra who are living over there. And the Gemara's understanding is that this is in reference to someone speaking lashon hara. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, my dichsiv. Okay, so that was of the that was one in two of the simanim. Meaning, the first of the simanim was alstei. The second of the simanim is batim. Meaning, these are people going to be restricted from certain dwellings up in Shamayim. And now we're up to the third one of lo seuna. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, my dichsiv. The pasuk says in Tehillim. Pasuk we're familiar with, Lo Seuna Alecha Rav, Nega Lo Yikrav, Be'ol Halecha. And the Gemara Darshan, Lo Seuna Alecha Rav, Shlo Yishlot, Becha Yetzahara, V'Nega Lo Yikrav, Be'ol Halecha, Shlo Timatze Yishecha Tzafik Nida, B'Shah Shetavo, Min HaDerech. And the Gemara, the Gemara gives the first understanding of that pasuk is that the Yetzahara should not have any shlita, have any kind of control over you. And negali krabo alecha, and you shouldn't have literally leprosy in your house. But the Gemara understands that when you come home, your wife shouldn't be a suffik nida. Suffik nida is that your wife may or may not be a nida. It's questionable. It's a shaila. Now, either she is or she is not, but at least you know for sure, definitively. Suffik nida is the worst, says Rashi. Uvishasha Adam, I'm reading Rashi. Uvishasha Adam, Bamina Derek, Kasha Lo, Kishim, Seth Ishto, Suffig Nida, worse to know that your wife is a Suffig Nida, Yosemi Nida Vadais. Shall Suffig Hu Mater Vietzer Takfa Vamar Torahi, Vachinam Animonea. Right? In other words, because if the wife is a Nida, so he'll know not to have relations. If his wife is not a Nida, so he'll know that he can. But if Suffig Nida, so then the Yetzer Hara obviously is going to get the best of him. Maybe not. Okay. The Gemara offers a second shot. Okay. The Gemara offers a second shot. Davar achar lo sonu lecha ra, shelo yiva'atucha chalamos ra'im ve'hirim ra'im. The first part of the pasuk in Tehillim, that you shouldn't be plagued with tu'una, you shouldn't be plagued with evil, meaning bad dreams, bad thoughts. And negal ikra ba'olecha shelo yelecha beinotam shemakdish tef shelo b'rabim. And your tent is a reference to not either having a son or a Talmud who literally burns his food in public. It's obviously an expression. It means basically behaves in a debased way publicly, and not only is embarrassing himself, but because he's either your son or your Talmud, he's going to be embarrassing you as well.
Interesting words to add.
Yeah, he must have gotten that from the censored Gemaras. Okay, Adkan. Sorry for that pause. That was a okay. Adkan Bircho Aviv. Now the Gemara is going to do is the following. That pasuk in Tehillim that we just quoted. So we're going to break it up and we're going to say now that these are brachas that David HaMelech was giving to his son Shlomo. And here's how we're going to break up the pasuk. We're going to break it up so that the first portion of that pasuk is ascribed to David. David was giving Shlomo HaMelech the following bracha, meaning the psukim that we just quoted.
Now the Gemara's understanding is that the next part of the pasuk is what the mother's bracha is to his son, to her son Shlomo. So mikan ve'elach birchaso imo. Now here comes the mother's bracha, and you'll see as we go through the brachas now that clearly there's a more sensitive nature to the second half of the pasuk, and the Gemara therefore ascribes it to mom. Ki malachav yisav halosh mecha b'chol derechecha al kapayim yisa uncha. Pasuk goes on to say pentigo b'evan roglecha al shachal v'fes and tidroch. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you the malachim to basically help you and support you and to protect you. And so ad kan birchaso imo, and the Gemara's understanding is these are the brachas that were given by the mother Batsheva to her son. And now as we continue in this parak in Tehillim, now these are more brachas that were given to Shlomo, but given by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki vi chashak v'afatel sagver ki adash shemi. And you see the tense now in the pasuk. The tense turns into first person, right? So that's why the Gemara understands now that there's a shift of who's giving the bracha. This is the Kadosh Baruch Hu giving the bracha. So I'm going to rescue him, ki adash mi, because he knows my name. Ve'yikre'ini ve'aneu imo. He'll call out my name and I will answer. Anochi b'sara chaltzev v'chabdei. I'm going to be together with him in the tzara. I'm going to save him. The orichem ha'masbeel ve'reya b'shuasi. So you see how the Gemara now understands that this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu based on the tense shift. I'm Rabbi Shem HaMalakish Maidichsev Vayimna Mirashem Oram Vizro Rama Tishaber. Rabbi Shem HaMalakish quotes the pasuk from Eov that Kadosh Baruch Hu prevents from Rishayim light, Uzro Rama Tishaber, and their strong arms that Kadosh Baruch Hu will break. Mimne Ma Ayin Shel Rishayim Teluya. Now you'll notice in that pasuk, now you and I won't notice it, but you have to open up a Tanakh, and you see the Tanakh inside, and you'll see that the Ayin in that pasuk is elevated. In other words, the words Rishayim, the Ayin goes above the line. Right, not a subscript. That's a superscript. Thank you. So the Rishayim Teluya. So Kevin Shanasa Adam Rash Melamata Nasa Rash Melamala. So the Gemara says, look, here's what you'll observe. A person is quarrelsome and he has enemies in this world. So the Gemara says, what you see down here is what you're going to see up there as well. Meaning if you have enemies down here, you have enemies up there as well. So Velo Nichtevei Klal. So the Gemara says, well, if that's really the intent of the Pasuk, so then leave out the Ayin altogether. So in other words, so good. So just write Rishayim with the word Rashim. So if a person is poor, meaning he doesn't have a lot of friends down here, but more than that, he has enemies down here, so that's a sign of what's going on upstairs as well. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why the Gemara, why the Pasuk doesn't do that. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Chanama, Mimnei Kvodeshal, David. So one reason why is because it's not universally true. Just because you have enemies down here doesn't automatically and always mean that you have enemies up there as well. Note, says the Gemara, David HaMelech. David HaMelech had many enemies down here. But that didn't reflect what he was above. And Chanam Mishim Kvodeshon Nechemiah ben Chachilai. Or the Gemara says another reason, another example of this is Nechemiah. Also had many enemies down here, and still not a reflection of what was above. Rashi notes over here, now David HaMelech, self-explanatory. Meaning, read the Navi, and you'll see he had many enemies. Nechemiah, he came in from Bavel to help assist Bill by Shani. He had so many enemies. So Rashi says, yeah, he did. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Nechemiah ben Chichelai, Shayelo Sonim Harbe, Minachim Shemavakshon Lahargah, Shayabona Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash was controversial, writes Rashi. Kirich Zibe Ezra, V'achas Machzekes HaSholech V'chulei. So the Navi describes in Sefer Ezra, right? We call it Nechemiah, but we already discussed it back earlier in the Masechta. That really should be called Sefer Ezra. Nechemiah's name was actually originally absent from the title of the book. But, okay, that goes back to what we learned earlier. Anyway, so the building of the Beis HaMikdash was controversial. Not everyone was on board with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Lishna Achreina, Rashi goes on, Hayelo Kenayim mi Yisrael dichsiv, Rabim bi Yehuda ba'alei shvur ki lo, ki hu titen l'shechanya ben orach shayu mevazen oso. Okay, many zealots living at the time as well, who wanted to do bad to Nechemiah. Whatever the case was, Rashi cites two different pshatim in terms of why Nechemiah had so many enemies. And again, the Gemara's point is that's why the Navi and Eov did not say it universally, unequivocally. That's it, you have enemies down here, that's it, you're not accepted up above. It's not always true. And then Rashi quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, where the Gemara in Kiddushin just simply says, going over the same basic idea, I was there, okay, I'm back,
Bekedushim mefarsh laikra ulachich velamar shebershayim amrin velo betzadik.
And the Gemara Kedushin just simply says, look, this rule that we just learned, that if you have enemies down here, that's a tell in terms of how it is going to be up in Shemayim. So that's only by Rishayim. But by Tzadikim, that's not the case. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Continuing now in the Gemara. Menashe Hayashona, Chamishim v'chamisha panim b'saras kohanim. Keneged shnei machuso. Menashe was a Talmid Chacham. Now, I know that goes against what we're basically, the picture we're trying to paint over the course of this morning, in which Menashe not only was a Rasha, but lost his chelek in Olam Haba. So now the Gemara is focusing on the fact that he was a Talmid Chacham, not only a Talmid Chacham, but learning Sefer Vayikra, right, some of the more difficult parts of Chumash, and he was saying over 55 different ways to learn Psukim in Sefer Vayikra. And 55, because as we learned earlier, that's the number of years that he ruled. And Achav Shmona V'Chamisha, and Achav had 85 ways to learn over Sefer Vayikra. Yeravam Mea V'Shlosha, and Yeravam had 103 different ways of learning up Sefer Vayikra. And the point being, and you'll notice, of course, that we hit the big three, meaning the three dishonorables of our Mishnah. So they were learning Sefer Vayikra, and again, goes back to what we discussed yesterday, and we're going to get to reiterate today, complexity. Meaning, Rasha, Rishus, just, and that's it, and there's nothing more to say. No. They were also Talmidei Chachamim. Also Talmidei Chachamim, and by Yeravam, we also talked about how he started off being not only Talmid Chacham, but giving Tochacha to other people. Okay. And the Gemara points out, over here, again, the Gemara doesn't... The Gemara is not spelling it out, but despite or in spite of the fact that they were such Talmid Chachamim, they were so their learning was so strong, but at the same time, the behavior is such where it's going to exclude them totally from a Chelek in Olam Haba.
So they were all using
Vayikra. They were all learning Vayikra.
Why Vayikra?
So I suggested it's because of the difficult nature of Vayikra, but I'm sure there's many other ways to say it. Tanya, Hayy Rebbe Meir Omer, Avshalom in lo chelek olam haba. Avshalom does not have a chelek in the world to come. Shenemar v'yakus Avshalom v'yimisuhu. So v'yakub b'olam hazeh v'yimisuhu b'olam haba. So Avshalom also to be excluded from olam haba, according to a brisa quoting Rebbe Meir. Okay. Avshalom rebelled against his father David. Okay. Tanya, Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rebbe Meir, Achaz v'Achazia. The kings of Achaz and Achazia, v'chol malchei Yisrael shekasu ben v'yasa Rabbi Hashem. Lochayim velo nidon. So Achaz and Achazia, who were the kings of Yehuda, and all of Malchei Yisrael, where you see the pasuk say in the Navi that they did bad in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they're not going to come back for Olam Haba. They're not. That's Lochayim, and also lo nidonim, and they're not going to be judged in Gehenna as well. So they're going to be existing in this kind of limbo state. V'gam dam naki shafach menasha harbe ma'od asher mileis Yerushalayim peh lafeh levan mechataso asher echtis Yehuda la'asos l'Rabbi Hashem. The Gemara now quotes, we now go back to Menasha. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Navi, Malachim Beis, 21st parak of Malachim Beis, where the Navi gives a very, very graphic description of Menasha being a killer. He killed innocent people in Yerushalayim peh lafeh, from one edge to the other edge. And in addition to the fact that he was also Machtis Yehuda, he caused the people in Yehuda to sin with the Avodah Zarah and Lasos HaRabbi Hashem. So Hachetirgumu, so when seeing this Pasuk, so here in Bavel, when they explained the Pasuk, so they said, that's Hacha meaning here, meaning remember, we're learning Talmud Bavli. So here in Bavel, when they went over this Pasuk, they said, Harag Yishayahu, that Menashe killed Yishayahu. So again, Menashe is taking us not to the end of Bayis Rishon, but towards the end of Bayis Rishon, right? About approximately 100 years prior to Churban Bayis Rishon. And so he killed Yishayahu. Yishayahu was not a Navi at the Churban. Yishayahu lived prior to the Churban. And now, historically, we see that Menashe and Yishayahu were living at the same time. In fact, according to one pshat, the Navi doesn't say it explicitly, but according to one pshat, when the Navi describes Menashe being a murderer, killing everybody, everybody means Yishayahu. And we'll explore that in a moment a little bit more. But Ma'arav Amar, now in Eretz Yisrael, when they said over this Pasuk, so they gave a different explanation. Also, Menashe made an idol,
and Masri Elap Bnei Adam V'chol Yom V'yom Horeg Kulam. So he had an idol that was so large it required 1,000 people to carry the idol, and then following the idolatry, next is that he killed. He killed the 1,000 people who carried the idol. So he was an idolater, he was a murderer par excellence. Now, Rabbi Bar Bachana has a tradition that a tzaddik is equivalent to the entire world. Now, that works in consonance with the first pshat that we just offered in Malachim Beis. Meaning that when we say that Menashe killed everybody, and according to the pshat Habavli, it means that he killed Yeshayahu. So that means everybody in Yeshayahu are equivalent to one another, and that works with the offering that was just given by Rabbi Bar Bachana. Ksiv Pesel, Ksiv Psalim. So in Divrei HaYamim, when describing Menashe, so it describes how he put up Pesel in the singular, and it also describes in another Pasuk how he sets up idols in the plural. So Am Rav Yochanan, so Rav Yochanan explains the discrepancy. B'tchila Asa Lo, Pirtzef Echad. Originally, he set up one image, and Levasof Asalo Arba Pirtzufim, and then he set up four images today, Shetira Shechina V'tichos. So that way, it's a real affront to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi over here is Girsa of the Gemara is slightly different, but it's the same idea. I'm reading the Rashi. I'm just reading the Dibra Maschon Rashi. It's on the bottom of the right hand column. Kidei Shetira Shechina Mikol Tzad. So now, basically, you're in the Heichal, and whichever way you're looking. So you see an image, a graven image. And now, once again, we go through our progression. Okay, so remember, we did this earlier this morning. We're going to do it now again. And our progression of Malchut Yehuda towards the end of Malchut Yehuda. We go Achaz, Menashe, and down from there. Now, again, every time we do this progression, obviously, we're skipping Chizkiyahu throughout this progression. Achaz Hamidu Ba'aliyah. Achaz took a graven image and put it in the second floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and he was given he was basically given dedication of the second floor, but dedication over here again dishonorable mention, but that's the idea that he set up the idol up in the second floor. Menashe, who was the grandson of Achaz, Hamida Beheichal, so he set it up in the Heichal itself, in the actual first floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar v'yasem es pesel asher asher asah b'bayis, asher amar Hashem el David el Shlomo, b'no b'bayis azer v'shlem esher b'charti mikol shifti Yisrael, asim eshmi la'olam. You know, the place that I said that my name was going to go? So, Menashe put it in the actual first floor itself. Amon, who was the son of Menashe, Hechnis lo beis kodesh ha-kodashim. So again, each progression now, it's more of an affront to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Amon took the idol and moved it into Kodesh ha-kodashim. Shenemer ki katzah matzah, mehistareya, v'amasechat sarah ki tkanas. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, and the Gemara now darshans the Pasuk in Yeshayahu in the following way. Mai ki katzah matzah mehistareya, the couch is not big enough for the two of us. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmin, Amar Rav Yonasan, ki katzar hamatzah zem milis tarer alav shnei reim keechad. Two people cannot fit on this couch, and the analogy is very clear, meaning that in Kodesh HaKadoshim you have the most intense version of Shechina, and now when Amon, son of Menashe, takes the tzelem and brings in Kodesh HaKadoshim, now it's just not big enough for the two of us. Kodesh Baruch Hu says now I'll leave. My va'amasechat saram. Rav Shimon bar Nachmini, Rav Yonasan, ki have a mate la'ikra havekabachi. When Rav Yonasan got to this pasuk, he would start crying. Mishikasa bo koneid kaneid me'ayam. Meaning, on one hand, the pasuk in Tehillim describes when Hakadosh Baruch Hu created when he performed Kriyas Yamsuf, he had the water going up like a pillar. And tasa lo masechat sara. And now, what Amon did is that he had the graven image basically become a co-wife to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Yonasan says the contrast is so unbelievable, and this is the kind of disrespect that we showed to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Rav Yonasan got emotional when he got to that pasuk. We're going to go through the progression again. Achaz, Menashe, Amon. So the Gemara does it again. Achaz, Bitel, Savoda, Achaz. So he stopped the avoda from working. Remember that pasuk that we quoted earlier about the vineyard and the not pruning of the vineyard. So this goes back to what we learned earlier this morning. Achaz bital avoda. Achaz stopped the avoda. V'chasam es haTorah, and he closed off the Torah, literally sealed, but here in the negative connotation. He closed off the Torah. Shenemar tzur tuuda chasum tuuda belumudai. He closed it off. And Menashe kidas achzaros, now as karos. And Menashe goes a step further. The grandson of Achaz, he cuts out the Shem Hashem from the Torah, v'haras as a mizbech, and he destroys the mizbech. Amon sarfas the Torah v'ela shmemos al gabe. Sorry, shemamis al gabe mizbech. Amon burns the Torah entirely. Amon, the son of Menashe, burns the Torah entirely and leaves the mizbech totally desolate. Achaz hitir zayerva. Again, we're going to go through our progression. Achaz allowed Arias. Menashe Baal Achos, Menashe actually had relations with his sister, and Amon Baal Imo, and Amon had relations with his very own mother, Shenemar, Ki Hu Amon, Hirba Ashma. The Pasuk in Divrei Yamim says that Amon actually was even more guilty. Right? He was Hirba. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Chanamar, Shesar, Fasatar, Chanamar, Shabal Imo. Two pshatim that are offered over here in terms of how he was even further guilty than his predecessors. One is that he burnt the Torah, and the other one is that he had relations with his own mother. Amrlo Imon, the Gemara tells us that the mother says to her son, meaning Amon's mother said to her son, "Klum yesh lecha naba makom sheyatzasu mimenu." You don't even have a yetzahara for this. Meaning people have yetzaharas for other people's wives, and sisters less so, but for one's mother, one doesn't even have a yetzahara. And Amrlo Klumani, and so basically she's saying, so why? Why are you engaging in this kind of behavior? Amalah, so Amon says to her, Klomani Ose Ella, Lahachis is Bari. So it's a Mummer Lahachis, meaning, you're right, 100%, I have no Yetzirah for this. This is all just as a direct affront to Akash Baruch Hu. Ki Asa Yo Yakim. Yo Yakim comes in. Yo Yakim now, and next king, son of Yoshio. And Amar Kamailo Yadalar Guze. So Yo Yakim goes even a step further. So now we are continuing the progression of Malchi Yehuda. So we go Achaz, jumped two generations to Menashe, to Amon, and now we move to Yoyakim. He says, my earlier predecessors, they didn't know how to really disturb HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klum ani anitzrichim, I'm sorry. They don't know how to really attack HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I, on the other hand, I know. Klum anitzrichim ela la'oro. Meaning, we don't even need the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh lanu zahav parvim. We have this gold that somehow produces its own illumination. Sha'anu misham shimbo. And we use it, basically, it's a precious gem that somehow produces its own light. And so we don't need a Kadosh Baruch Hu anymore. Yitol, all right, Kadosh Baruch Hu can take his light. We don't need it. So Amrulah, so they said to Yoyakim, even that argument is a false argument. V'alo kesef azav shalohu, shenamar liya kesef liya azav nu mashem tzvakos. What do you mean? The gold and silver belongs to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it's mine. How can take away your light? We'll keep our gold. It's not your gold. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Amalam kfar nas nulana shenema shemaim shemaim l'ashem v'aretz l'san l'vnei adam. So in this banter based on psukim, so Yoyakim says, well, what do you mean? It belongs to us now, right? V'aretz l'san l'vnei adam. The Gemara in Brachos, we went over this Gemara recently. Gemara in Brachos in the beginning of the sixth parak says that Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Ha'aretz Hasan Levnei Adam. On the other hand, the pasuk says, right, Hashem Ha'aretz Meloa. Kadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. Kam Kodem Bracha, Kam La'acha Bracha. Before the bracha, it all belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. After the bracha, so we have permission to use it. That's the Gemara's, one of the Gemara's sources in terms of making a bracha rishona before eating. What Yoyakim is doing is he's quoting the pasuk over here, but obviously, you know, fictitiously, he's creating a fiction based on this pasuk. No, we own everything now.
Accepts the existence of God.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's a given.
Right. Like, I don't worship him, but
right. In other words, right. Their issues were not the, you know, they're not like our issue. Right. Correct. They recognize the authority. Just a question of the kind of disrespect they had towards the authority. Amle Rava La Rava Bar Mari Mime Malam Manu Is Yoyakim Mishum Dechziv Bei. Now here comes the question. It's going to be a difficult question. In fact, it's going to be such a difficult question. Quite frankly, the Gemara is not going to offer an answer. But let's raise the question. Let's offer up the question. Yoyakim, as now as we just expressed, really outdid his predecessors. Outdid Achaz and Menashe and Amon. So he really outdid everybody. And so we ask the question, the Gemara is asking the question, so why didn't he make the dishonorable list? Meaning, so now we had a list in the beginning of our perek, in which the kings who did not get a chelk in Olam Haba, and Yoyakim seemingly should be on that list. In fact, the Gemara says, Mishum Dechsev Bein, it says, in Divrei Yamim regarding Yoyakim V'yesa Divrei Yoyakim V'soa V'osav Asher Asa V'hanimsa Alav. All the disgusting things that were done by Yoyakim, and the Navi in Divrei Yamim says, you know, there's more out there. And also Nimsa Alav and that which was found on him. So the Navi in Divrei Yamim is making some sort of veiled allusion to something that was on Yoyakim's body. What was on Yoyakim's body? And the Gemara divulges, my vanimsa alav, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, chana mashachach, shema avodas kochava ma'alam aso. So according to one version he had, the avodas zara actually tattooed on his body. Right, the Gemara's version has it as like such an affront on his ama. And chana mashachach, shem shemaim ma'alam aso, or he had shem shemaim written on his ama. Rashi's Girsa does not seem to be exactly like our Gemara, although it doesn't really take much away from the point of the Gemara. Rashi's Girsa is al-gufo, but in either event, in other words, having Shem Shemaim tattooed, even a more direct affront towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
I thought Amon is not in the list either.
Right, correct. So how did he... Right, in other words, meaning the Gemara's question is Yoyakim is just a stronger question to ask. The question could also have been asked in Amon, but Yoyakim even far exceeded. So, okay, but your point is well taken. So Amar lo b'mlachem lo shemati behejoto shemati. So he says, look, I don't know. Meaning, the question's good and I don't have an answer. But I did hear something regarding a hejot. Mimnei malo manu is Micha. So Micha is not on the list. Micha, as we discussed yesterday's daf, Micha was a survivor from Shibud Mitzrayim. He was supposed to go into the pyramids and be put into the pyramids. The Kadosh Baruch Hu saved him as being so as not to be part of the building material. And Micha ends up taking idols out of Mitzrayim with him as they leave Mitzrayim, and ends up during the times of the Shoftim setting up a Pesel. In fact, it's called Pesel Micha. As we learned also previously in Perek Chelek, Micha ends up becoming the father of Yeravam, meaning Yeravam ben Nevat. Nevat also was Micha, was one of the same person. And so how come he's not mentioned also as somebody who lost a portion of the world to come? Over v'shav el halavi'im. So the Gemara says that he gets a pass, meaning he gets exempted from being put into the dishonorable list because he gave to the Levim, he had food accessible for those people passing his house, and so therefore for that he gets saved from not being put into the list. Okay, we will pause over here. The Gemara, let's do a little bit more. Sorry, let's just finish up Pesel Micha and then we'll continue tomorrow. So the Avra b'yam tzara v'hika b'yam galim. Amar of Yochanan is the Pesel Shemicha. So when we went through the Yam, so Pesel Micha came along with it. As I just described a moment ago, Micha extracted the Pesel with him out of Mitzrayim. Tanya Rabbi Nasan Omer. Migarav l'shilo shlosha milim. So the place of Micha until Shilo, it were basically 3 kilometers. Vaya ashan amaracha of ashan pesel micha mit arvin zebezem, because of the proximity. So when the smoke came up from the place of worship of Shiloh, which is obviously Shem Shemayim, and the place of worship of Micha, obviously of Avodah Zarah, so the smoke that comes up from both mixed together. Bikshu malach hasharos ledochfo. So the malachim are like, this is totally intolerable. Meaning, just the image is so powerful, it's so strong. The smoke rising together. So the Malachim said, okay, let's do away. Let's get rid of Micha. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinichalo. Shepito mitzuyo lo v'rederachim. V'aldava zeh nenshu anshe pilegesh begiva. So, and to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let's leave him alone. Remember, he does have food available for those people passing by his house. He does give to the Levium. So let's leave him alone. And the Brisa concludes by saying, and as a result of this, so many people died as a result of Pelegesh Begiva. The last story that's told over in Sefer Shoftim, Prakim Yutes, Chaf and Chafal, and Sefer Shoftim, Amalek Hashbaruchu Bechvodi V'lo Mechisam. So, in other words, for that, you go out and you have a civil war. But for Pesel Micha, you do nothing. Akvodu Shal Basav Adam Michasam. Meaning for Basav Adam, that you made a big macha, you made a big protest. See the end of Shoftim, see the civil war that occurred, and that was over Beinam L'Chaveru. But Beinam L'Makom, but when Micha had his temple set up within proximity of Shiloh, so that you said nothing for, it just further angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu over that. Stop here.